you know, when my daughter, who, if you don't know her already, you will get to know in the years ahead, I'm sure. When she was about 5 or 6 years old, I'd say, we began to do a little bit of traveling. And as we traveled, she got to experience that great invention, the escalator. Not a lot of escalators that we had in our house or in the places we normally went here in Grand Junction at the time after she was born. But she got to go to the airport and go on escalators in the airport. And what I found from that experience of watching her experience these escalators for the first time is that every trip on the escalator starts with joy, but it ends with fear. You see, stepping on that escalator is an exciting thing, that you take that first step onto the escalator and then you don't have to step anymore. It does all the rest of the work. It lifts you up. It carries you up to the next level all by itself. That you're carried away from whatever's behind you and the crowd following you. But the end of the escalator isn't like that. Now the floor comes to a sudden halt. There's a pressing throng behind you, and what are they going to do? If you were to fall, stepping onto an escalator, that's hardly any problem at all, is it? It'll just carry you up. You have the whole ride up to stand back up, get to your feet, get ready. But if you were to fall at the top of the escalator, well, now there's people right behind you, and they couldn't stop if they wanted to. They're going to be forced to crush you there, or worse. What if your foot gets caught? And that escalator grabs you, and it pulls you through the floor, and it drags you down through those gears in the darkness back to the level below. Well, my daughter was a little bit worried coming to the end of these things. Okay, what? Okay, get ready, gotta step. And I told her, you had to be confident. Step boldly. All you had to do is take that first step. Once you make that first step, then you're safe. You continue walking, there's no possible problem. The only way you could get into trouble is if you stop and you don't step and you let the thing just run into your feet, and you're pulling your little suitcase through the airport there, and you're trying to go, and if you just stand there, something bad could happen, but if you just step boldly forwards, you'll be fine. And I told her, and don't worry, because I'm here right behind you. She didn't question the fact that me being right behind her, I was carrying two suitcases and had a backpack on, I had a car seat in my arm. I don't know what I was actually going to be able to do if she did stop, or if she was sucked through the floor. We have zero kids now. But she trusted and she stepped boldly and with confidence forwards. And that's all it took. Sometimes that bold step forwards is what it takes to succeed. I think we're at a time in this world and in the church where things will be changing. And it's going to require a bold step forward. That escalator ride we've been on maybe is going to transition into a regular floor. And there could be very good things ahead if we step boldly into them. We're starting a series now out of the book of Joshua. You probably saw it on the screen already, so it's not a surprise to you, I know. But we're starting out of the book of Joshua, and Joshua tells the story of God's people coming to a time of change, where what had got them to that point was no longer going to work to move them forward, where new things were going to happen among God's people, and they needed to step boldly into them. We're going to read the beginning of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, the first 6 verses. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness, and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall call this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence with us, that you are here in our midst. And we ask that you would open our eyes and our hearts, that we would be able to hear from you and apply your word to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to look at the story of Joshua and beginning the study of the book of Joshua. As we go through this, we'll be looking at what God did with those people at that time, and then digging into the eternal principles in God's character, his promises as well, and then apply those principles and promises that are for all time to our context, now in the New Testament, and see how these words can encourage us and motivate us as we serve God. As I said, Joshua, this story begins, as it says, after the death of Moses. All the people that were there with Joshua, they only knew Moses as their leader. Everything that happened had been at his hand. He was the one who had gone into Egypt, and the incredible signs and miracles that were performed there, the plagues that came on Egypt that won them their freedom. He was the one who went up on the mountain and brought down the commandments. In fact, if you turn back a page, just to the end of Deuteronomy, the very end of Deuteronomy says this about Moses. In verse 10 of Deuteronomy 34, "There has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, none like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." What an incredible man who had led these people. And then you turn back to Joshua, and now he's dead, and Joshua, the assistant, is there. Well, he just finished telling us that there's never going to be another guy like Moses, and then, hey, here's a new guy. It was after the death of Moses, the people mourned for 30 days, and then Joshua had to come and tell them, all right, the time for crying is over. We're going to start something new. We're crossing a river, and we're going into the land. This was their mission, the mission of God's people now at this time. They had this mission to go into the land, to cross over the Jordan, and now drive out the people of this land. But they were called to make this place their own. This description that's given here in verse 4 and following. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. I imagine perhaps a few of them raising their hand. I'm sorry, what was that middle part? All the way to the river Euphrates? No, after that. All the way to the great sea? Nope, you're skipping something important here. What's that middle part? It's the land of the Hittites? That's right. And did they know that it's been given to us? Have they been appraised of the change of ownership here? They had to go into this land, and it was going to be hard work. And yet, this mission came with a great promise. It was the land that God was giving to them. In verse 3, Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Every place. This makes me think of those old game shows where it was like a shopping spree you would win. So at the end, it's like, all right, you have 2 minutes. Whatever you can get in your cart in 2 minutes is yours. You never saw in those shows someone being like, oh, I don't know, what brand of beans do I want? Maybe this is a better value. Sure. Oh, carrots. I think we need some carrots over here. No, if you won a prize like that and it's everything you get in your cart, what did everybody do? They put everything in their cart. No one ever stopped and said, like, hold on. Is this really the best thing I want in my house today? Said, you know what? We'll sort it out later. Right now, we get everything. This was to be the mission of Joshua and the people of Israel, to go in through the land and to just step everywhere. To go through and step on every spot. Everywhere you step, God will give you that place. So go out there and start stepping on things. You know, if you've read Joshua before, that the people at a certain point just got tired of walking. Now, they had some hesitancy in their mission, but that's what they were called to go into this land and to claim it. More than it just being their mission in the world, it was their inheritance. Their inheritance. It says in verse 6, as it's summing up this work that's going to be done, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. This wasn't just the mission of those people at that time, but it was a culmination of the promises that God had made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, all those years before, to have this land that he had set aside for them, for God to be with them in this place, an inheritance given to them from a promise to their great-grandfathers. Coming out of history now into their present, making real the inheritance that they would have. This inheritance really was more than just a place to put up a house. It was more than just a place to live, or now you can finally plant those trees you've been meaning to plant. You've been wandering in the wilderness this whole time, and so you never were able to put in those vineyards you were hoping for, but now this is your land, you can do that. That was certainly part of the blessing of the land, but more than that, the inheritance came in the presence of God. And that's wrapped up in these promises that we see here. That God is the one who is at work in all of this. We see that in verse 2. You're supposed to go into the land, God says, that I am giving to them. Verse 3, I have given this to you. Verse 5, no one can stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. This inheritance is wrapped up in the presence of God. And it's easy to skirt over that. It's easy to skirt around these things, to think, well, God's gift is in the courage itself. It's in the strength itself. But really, the courage and the strength that Joshua and the people would have, it's not the primary thing. It's the symptom. And the infection they have is that God is with them. That he's got right into the core of this people. And he's right there among them. And because of that, they cannot help. If they trust God and love him and are working in his purposes, they cannot help but be strong and courageous. Because God is with them. That is the true inheritance. The presence of God among these people. If you've read through Leviticus lays out, as they're in this wilderness time and they're looking forward to this time, they're going to go into the land and have this inheritance. Almost all of it is actually about how God will be with them and what you have to do to be with God in his presence. The sacrificial system and all the worship style and everything they did to remind themselves that God is holy and he's right there with you, and so you better be careful. But it's an incredible blessing at the same time. In Leviticus, Moses just spoils all of their future history for them. Right? That God talks to me and says, okay, but hey, here's the problem. If you guys start to disobey, here's what the steps are going to be. Here's what's going to lead to, and eventually you're going to get kicked out of that land again, the land that at this point they hadn't even gone into. You will lose all of that if you can't obey God and endure his presence. But God is good, and he will still call you back to be with you. And we see that same presence of God played out for us today. Because we don't live in the time of Joshua. We don't live at a time where God's people are called to go out and conquer a land. Now we have a different inheritance, but it's wrapped up in the same thing, the same presence of God, that God is with us. That in fact, God is with us in a way that is more powerful and more empowering of us than on the people of Israel, because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is with each of us who believe. Jesus speaks of the inheritance that we have in this way. This is in Matthew 19. In Matthew 19, I'm going to read just a few verses here. Verse 27, Peter says, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." We will inherit eternal life. This inheritance is not just, boy, one day you are going to be so old because God will never let you die. What a terrible fate that would be, just to get older and older and watch everything fall apart around you. But eternal life is not that as a promise. Eternal life is the presence of God with us, unceasing forever. That you will be with him and he will transform you. In Matthew, the way Jesus explains it, it's almost the opposite sign from getting that land and establishing yourself. And now this would be a place for your family and your house and your own land. Now Jesus says, no, but really, give up all of that to be with God. My family moving back here, one of the first things we began to look at is, well, how will we live here in Grand Junction? What will it be like? House prices have gone up quite a bit since we last had to buy one here. I'm guessing there might be some people here in our congregation who, if you had to go back and buy your own house today, maybe would struggle to do it, because I know we couldn't buy the house that we had moved out of years back for anything like the same price that we sold it for at the time. For us coming here, it was, well, for me to come, then of course I need to bring my wife and my child. I'm going to need to find a house to live in. But really, in the end, even those things are not as important as the presence of God. That were I to lose my house, which hopefully, you know, I at least get to move into it before I lose it. But were I to lose my house, were I to lose my family, I could still be in the presence of God. And as hard as that would be, as hard as it was for the people in the early church to step away from those things in order to be called by the name of Christ, it was worthwhile for the presence of God and that inheritance of eternal life. Do we have this inheritance to have God with us? But we don't have to look at a land that we need to seek out and conquer, but instead, we take that step, that bold step. That some of you, I know your story, and I hope to hear many more of your own testimony of God's work in your life. But taking that one step of faith that says, yeah, I'm stepping off the escalator, or I'm stepping out of control of my own life. I'm going to take that one step to say, okay, I'll follow God. That work that Jesus did for us on the cross, laying down his life for us, creating a way that we can be bold and courageous, even in coming into the presence of God, because he can make us right with God. We have this inheritance, this gift of eternal life, this work of God with us. But having already received that inheritance, just as the people in Joshua's time, they were given this mission to go into the land and claim that inheritance and establish themselves that way. We, already having the presence of God with us, are still given our own mission. We have our mission that Jesus calls us to. We are not left to say, well, good news is I know Jesus, so I guess everything's going to be fine for me, and so long everyone else. Guess I can sit back and relax all the rest of my days. We are still called to work with strength and courage. The Gospel of Matthew ends with this command, this mission that Jesus sends his followers on. And I know it's a passage you've heard many times, but I'll read it again here. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. Jesus came and said to them, to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus set a mission for his followers. And it's a very different mission than the one that Joshua set for the people of Israel. The mission that Joshua and the Israelites had as they went into the land was one of exclusion. To remind others that they no longer belonged in that land. To remind them forcefully, with an army at your back. Okay, it's time for you guys to move on. And in that moving into the promised land, God does incredible work, and we'll see that in the book of Joshua. He moves among the people in ways that they don't expect. And that mission is one of excluding others from the land, that God is establishing a holy people there. But now, with God's presence on each of us, we have a very different mission that we've been given. It is now, instead of a mission of exclusion, a mission of inclusion. Not pushing people out, but calling them in. Just as each one of us, if we follow Jesus, had that moment in our life where that gospel message came to us, where we were called to, where we were invited in. We are asked to go forth. That wherever we go, we would make disciples, those who are students of Jesus, learning of him and about him. And more than that, that we would teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. That we, on this mission, would go and speak. That we would teach, that we would encourage, that for the people of Israel in the time of Joshua, the presence of the Hittites must have been one of their primary concerns. Yeah, but don't the Hittites have an army? We're gonna do some training before we just march right in, right? For us, often that step of making disciples and teaching them to observe God's commands, it's such a frightful thing. There might be some of you here who actually would feel more confident charging in with a sword than with a Bible. More willing to say, you know what? They might strike me down, but at least I didn't have to share anything about my faith. narrowly avoided that one. Yeah, I got stabbed, but at least I could keep my mouth shut. God gives that same promise and the same type of words he gave to Joshua. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Just as he said in Joshua, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Our strength and courage is meant to be used. But first, of course, you should be stirred up by the presence of God to have that strength and courage. It wouldn't be enough for me to tell you, be strong and courageous, go do whatever you want. But just be strong and courageous when you do it. Undirected courage, undirected strength. As though you would leave here and say, well, Pastor said to be strong and courageous, better get myself a lotto ticket. Oh, I know this is going to work out. He said, go for it. Be strong and courageous, yes, but find your strength and your courage in the presence of God and in the work that he has on your heart and in your life. And if God has given you that strength, if God has given you courage, then go. Speak. Make disciples. God has given the same types of promises that he gave to Joshua. Wherever you go, God will be with you. Jesus had looked out and seen the people of his time and said, the harvest is plentiful. We need people to go. Take those steps. For us, that can look a lot of different ways, and we'll talk about that in the weeks ahead. As we begin to move in the directions of outreach into the neighborhoods around us, to the schools around us, to the businesses around us, we'll talk about and encourage one another on how to take those steps. But I believe that God is with us wherever we go. That we are called to take those steps. We're not promised that everyone we ever talk to will come to know Christ immediately, or perhaps ever. But we are called to go. To speak, to make disciples, to teach them. God is with us. Next week we'll look at what this call required of Joshua and the people. We'll talk about what it will require of us. But if you are here today and you struggle to find courage and strength, today I want to remind you that God is with you. He will not leave you. Find your strength and your courage in him. God said to Joshua, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Jesus told his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, make disciples, teach them. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence upon us. We ask that you would stir us up, that we would be overcome by your presence, that you would give us great strength and courage in who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to come to the communion table now. And we have the elements here, so in just a moment, I'll ask you to come and take of the tray. You know, it's a combined, I think you guys have used these for a little bit now, combined cup and wafer on top. And you'll take these. I was told that you might want to shake them because they have a tendency to settle a little bit. So maybe give them just a little bit of a of a shake there. But we'll come and take these and we'll take together. But first, let me read just a little of what Paul said as he spoke of this sign of God's presence with us, coming out of that time that Jesus was with his disciples. Paul, as he relates this, he's focused on the unity that the believers would have with one another, the encouragement that they would have with one another, knowing that God is with us. He's with us when we gather. Jesus gave us this meal, this little symbol to take communion, I think in a way that gives us courage and strength, that brings life to us. This is what Paul says to the church at Corinth. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." To all who know Jesus, who've been called according to his purposes, who call him Lord, who seek to obey his commands and to know him, that the Holy Spirit is present with you, this meal is for you. I'm going to give you a moment now to come and take the elements, and you can return to your seats. And as you do that, you don't have to wait for me now, but you can take the bread in your own time. Each of us comes to Christ in our own time, and we can take of the bread in our own time. But we'll hold the cup until everyone gets back to their seats, and then I'll read the end of what Paul says, and we'll take of the cup together. Come. These elements, the reminders of God's presence with us, of the cost of the salvation that has come to us, that this comes not lightly, that our sins were not without meaning to God, but he made a way. That the sacrifice of Jesus, that his spilled blood paid that penalty for our sins. If you haven't already, you can open your cup. Paul says this: "In the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. All of you, drink of it. As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Oh, Jesus, quickly come and help us to be people who proclaim the work of our Lord. Amen. Let me close us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your presence with us. Lord, we ask that you would stir us up to know and love you. That you would give us strength and courage. That you would use us for your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.